Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of the Revelation. In your bulletin, it has another sermon there, but I'm going to preach this one instead, Revelation chapter number 2. And while you're turning there, I have some stats I want to give you. This is from the VA. In the Civil War, there were total U.S. service members in the Union of 2,213,000. Of the Confederacy, 1,050,000. During World War I, there was a total U.S. service members of 4,734,991. World War II, 16,112,556. In the Korean War, there were 5,720 service members. In the Vietnam War, there were 8 million service members. In the Desert Shield, there were 2,322,000 service members. In total, there was 41,892,000 service members. And the one thing I want to say about this is this. Every one of those people who was standing up here today, every one of those people in history, at one time wrote a blank check for you. They said, I will give up my life. I'll give up my goals. I'll give up the things that I had, the plans that I had made, and I will give those up because I believe in the United States of America. And as I believe in that, I'm going to then say that I'll give up everything I want. I'll go to boot camp and I'll be humiliated there. I'll go on to further service, and I may serve in a war zone. I may serve in another place, but I'll do whatever the government tells me to do because I'm signing myself over to them. And I have to tell you today that whenever we do this kind of a presentation, my heart just goes out. I think about all those that were standing here today, and I think about those who could not stand here with us today. I've lost people in the Coast Guard out on search and rescue missions and lost them. And I know many people here have lost them as well. You know, it would have been beautiful if we had taps today. Just to remember those who have given their lives for you and I today. Revelation chapter number 2, we're going to look at just a few verses here, starting in verse number 1. So if you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate this time of Veterans Day, and it was awesome to see all these people standing here today, Lord. I thank you to be among them. I pray, Father, that you will open our eyes and our ears, and, Father, more importantly, that you open our heart today. As we look at the opportunities that are laid before us at Lakeview Baptist Church, Lord, you've given us a theme for this year, the year of new beginnings. You've given us the idea to create a vision. And, Father, that's what I want to speak about today. Father, I pray that every word out of my mouth comes from you. Lord, I love you today. We honor you with our love. And Father, today we ask nothing of you, anything more than saying, we just love you. And Father, we'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The revelation of Jesus Christ actually delivers two chapters that are strictly for seven churches that are in Asia. In each one of these churches, we find that there is a particular instance, if you will, of why in the world that John wrote about them. The very first one is to the church at Ephesus. Now, that ought to be a fairly familiar one for us because there is a total book that Paul wrote to them, an epistle. He called Epistle to the Ephesians, and anyhow, he wrote to this very same church. The things that are interesting to me as I quickly look at this is simply this. They were doing a lot of things right. They were having lots of activities. He says, I know your works and your toil and your patient endurance and how you cannot bear those who are evil. And I'll tell you, most churches today, that is true. However, more and more, Satan and the world are entering into our churches through a variety of different things, through music and through message and through preaching. They're coming in, and I've got to tell you that it worries me. It worries me deeply. But I'm not worried about the whole of the earth. I'm not worried about every church that's out there. All I'm concerned about is shepherding this one. And I will tell you today that it's interesting to note, as I look at this particular church, they're pretty much a church, a normal church that we would see today, except for one small thing. They had left their first love. They got so busy in activities and so busy doing things that they forgot who Jesus Christ was and what he did for them, and therefore they left him. Now, that's not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying that at all. But Jesus has something to say against them. He says, but this I have to say against you. You've left your first love. My vision for the church, and that's what we're going to be talking tonight about at 6 o'clock, there will be a portion of it that will be with the vision that God has given me, but there will also be the vision that you have supported. And I just tell you, I want to thank you so much for every person who has submitted a vision form to me, a vision of what you see the church in 1 year and what you see the church in 5 years and where you see the church in 10 years. I thank you for that. It has taken me 2 weeks to compile it, so I thank you very much. As I looked at each one of these, I would tell you it was invigorating to read these. Almost as invigorating as it to read back on the back wall back there on the glass where people are writing what they're thankful for. I tell you what, I can just worship right there standing there and reading what you're thankful for today. In this particular case, the reason that the vision is given to me was actually started 3.5 years ago. 3.5 years ago, the Lord really started working on my heart. It started telling me things that, you know, as I was studying the book of the Revelation, the more I studied it, the more I became burdened for not only the church that I was currently serving, but also all churches, specifically those who name the name of Christ. I became burdened for the simple fact that I saw that in the book of the Revelation, here I saw that there was a response from what happened in the early church in the book of Acts. If I would turn back to the book of Acts, then it would give me an idea of what we should do as a church. The vision that really God has given me is simply this. We must return to the roots of the church, of the early church. We must get rid of anything that's beyond that. We must go back to the early church and see what in the world they were doing. After the Jewish festival of Pentecost, there was a group of people, 120 of them, that changed the whole world towards Christianity. Even though they were persecuted, even though they were, at many times, they were arrested. Many of them were beaten. Many of them were stoned and killed. But they changed the world. There was this great fire that started there in Jerusalem and spread and engulfed a whole region. What in a possibility could do that? Well, it can only do that because it was all based on Jesus Christ. The message could not be stopped. They could arrest them, but it didn't stop them because they would say the message while they were in the prison. They would talk to it, and when they were incarcerated, they would talk about it all the time. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 47, it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved." Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was this church? And daily the Lord added to this church. I would find that to be unbelievable, and I would say to the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to be a part of that. The immediate response to all these new believers that were filled with the Holy Spirit is simply this. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 4, it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. You see, the progression of the gospel is extremely simple. It is they hear the word, they believe the word, and people are added to the kingdom. I don't know how much more simple it can possibly be. Many times we try to make it too complicated, but it's simple. Very, very simple. A short time later, in Acts chapter number 6, in verse number 7, it says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." You see, here's what happens again. The word of God increased, the gospel is proclaimed openly to everyone. And as the word of God is proclaimed, and as the word of God is increased, then the result is the number of disciples multiplied. This is way too simple. And we, as churches around the world, we've made it way too complicated. The truth of the matter is, they cannot be saved unless they hear. And unless they hear, they cannot believe. And if they don't believe, they will not get saved. That is a simple message that you and I should understand and know today. It's simple. The gospel was so widespread that persecution came. And even when persecution came, they did not stop speaking the word of God. No matter what happened to them, they did not stop. I really believe that they were following Paul's example in his letter to the Galatians, that they crucified themselves daily. And yet, it wasn't them who lived, but it was Christ who lived through them. Oh, that today we would get to that point where we would say, there is nothing more important in this world, nothing more important than expanding the kingdom of God. And how does the expanding of the kingdom happen? It's people hear the word, they believe the word, they respond to that, and they be saved. And that salvation is what causes the kingdom to be expanded. When I look at Acts chapter number 8, verses 4 and 8, it says, "Therefore, they which were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching." So when they were moved out of Jerusalem, they went to other places. And as they went, they preached this message. And the last part of that verse, in verse number 8, says, "So there was much joy in the city." I tell you what, I just get so excited when somebody gives their life to Christ. I can hardly stand it. Because I know that's another person who is not going to spend eternity in hell. And sometimes I believe we as church today, we don't believe in hell hot enough yet. I mean, maybe we should start preaching hell every Sunday. Some people will say, "Oh, I don't think you should scare people into hell." Oh, maybe you have to, some people. Maybe some people just don't understand what eternity and punishment is all about. But I will tell you today, they heard the word because it was preached. They believed the word, and because they believed the word, then the kingdom was added, and every day it grew. Acts chapter 12 and 24 says, "But the word of God increased and multiplied." So let's just see if we can remember here. What happened was the church started and people just wouldn't shut up. Arrest me, it's okay. I'm not going to shut up. Today we're looking in the 16th chapter in the book of Acts, and in there Paul and Silas, they're arrested. And as they're arrested, what do? They sing songs and pray. And the people who were in that prison heard that. And when the earthquake came and their bonds were released, what did they do? What must we do to be saved? Oh, that today we here at Lakeview would take that on and say, you know what? No matter what else happens here, wherever I go, I'm going to preach the gospel, because a person cannot be saved unless they hear. And they cannot believe unless they hear, and they cannot be saved unless they believe. It's a very, very simple thing. So you and I today, what can we do about that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The beginning of a vision. When the Lord started putting this on my heart, he basically told me we must return to our roots. In order for the Great Commission to happen, it must take place in the heart of the church. We can quote the verses all we want to. "Go ye therefore into all nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," blah, 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 blah. We can say it all we want to. We can quote it consistently. We could say it 24 hours a day, and I will be honest with you, nothing will happen if you and I don't take it out. If you and I just say the verses over and over, I'm going to tell you, nothing will happen. We can be on our knees in prayer 24 hours a day. Thank you so much for that. However, that is not getting the gospel out. The gospel needs to be taken. Paul and Silas are in the prison, and as they're arrested, they're in stocks. I can't even imagine what that'd be like. They're in stocks. Instead of saying, "Woe is me," they started singing, "Amazing Grace." I know it wasn't written then, but I think that's probably what they sung. Jesus Jesus Messiah. Man, I love that song. Man, they must have been singing because everybody else started listening. When they listened, then guess what happened? I believe during that time that Paul had an audience that wasn't going anywhere. And so he just started preaching the gospel. Started telling them about Jesus Christ and what happened to him. Very simple. What happened to the jailer? He heard, he believed, and he got saved. And his house. And his house. I think about that all the time. I think, okay, so what in the world do we need to do here? I'm on my knees and I'm praying, said, Lord, thank you for this vision, but you're telling me to return to our roots. What exactly do we do? I mean, how in the world do we get back to this thing of getting to our roots? Well, the early church was filled with members that gave up everything for the furtherance of the gospel. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put our plans on hold? Jesus walking along the shores of Galilee, and he looks up, and there is Peter and James, and he says, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And they did. Walked up to James and John, and Daddy is sitting in the boat, and they're mending the nets, and he says, follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And they did. Walked up to a guy who's in politics. He's taking the taxes to Levi, and he says, follow me. He didn't say, I'll make you to become fishers of men, but he said, follow me. And you know what he did? He gave up his six-figure job and followed Christ. I think if we're going to get back to the New Testament, and people like to say, oh, we're a New Testament church. I tell you what, we are far from a New Testament church. We are not ready totally to give up everything that we have so that another person can hear the gospel. We're not ready to give up and say, I'm embarrassed for me to open up the name of the Jesus because they might just have a talk with me and they might say that maybe you can't work here anymore. Paul would say, amen. Amazing grace, how sweet. I can just hear him. Nothing bothered Paul. Nothing bothered the apostles. They changed the world and there was only 12 of them. So how in the world can we return to our roots? I would say if we as a church want to be busy in kingdom work, then we have to get back and follow in the footsteps of the early church leaders. We must understand that it takes more than Sunday morning for a couple of hours. Hello? It takes more than a couple of hours on a Wednesday night or on a Thursday night or on whatever night. It takes more than just coming to a meeting here at the church. It is more than having a prayer meeting in your house. It is more than having a Bible study at work. It is more than that. We must understand from our hearts ourselves, we must give it all to God. Because once we give it to him, he'll take it and multiply that. And once he starts multiplying that, then daily, then people will be getting saved. I would say shame on us, because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. You and I, one day, not the people down the road, not the people over here, not this church over here. They're not, yeah, they will, but I'm just talking to this church right now. One day we'll give an account for what we've done to the Lord here. Are you ready for that? Lord says you got to return. Why is the gospel message so important to God? Well, I can tell you, it's the closest thing to him. Why is that? Because God created this heaven and earth, and he created man even though he knew they weren't going to love him. He knew they weren't going to love him. God would send prophets to his people once he called his people. And he knew they would disobey the prophets. He knew that they would ignore them. He knew that they would stone him. He knew the message would not be received. And yet he did it anyway. And then finally, when the time came, then God eventually would take his own son and send him to this earth to die for you and I, to take the wrath that he has against sin and place it all upon his son. And he knew that man was going to put him to death. Why in the world would God do that? It's because he loves you. The Apostle John, what a privilege it must have been for him as he sat there with his quill and writing on parchment or whatever he was writing on at the time. What a joy it must have been when the Holy Spirit prompted him to write these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The gospel is the key component in God's life. And may I tell you today, it should be the main component in this church as well. Let me be very clear today. I don't want you to misunderstand this whatsoever, so be very clear. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. The gospel is the key component in expanding the kingdom. It's not activities, it's the gospel. It is up to you and I to share that gospel and to proclaim that gospel. That is our job. That is number one. For example, if our Sunday school classes are not centered on the gospel, then let us stop and make a change immediately. If our worship service is not centered on the gospel, let us change that immediately. If our Sunday evening services are not centered on the gospel, then let's change that immediately. If our Wednesday night evening services are not centered on the gospel, let's change that immediately. If our Awana is not centered on the gospel, let's change that immediately. If any of our activities that we do are just activities, then let's stop them. I don't want to be an average church. I don't want to be an average Christian. God has placed this church strategically in this area. And he's waiting for you and I today to say, I'll go. I can almost see Jesus right now walking along this corridor right here, and he's reaching out his hand. He said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to move out of where we are right now and say, I'll move out of my comfort zone? I'll move out of the things that I'm doing. I will put more focus on you, God, not just in these certain areas, but I'm going to put more focus on you because I'm going to start proclaiming the gospel like I've never proclaimed it before. I'm going to start carrying tracts in my purse, and every time I go someplace, I'm going to put a tract there. Every time I meet somebody, I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Every time I have a conversation with somebody, it will finally get to the point of, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm going to get to the point where I can tell them, not necessarily the Romans Road or the four spiritual laws, but I can tell them what's happened to me. There was one day when the Holy Spirit said, I don't know you. And I had to come to grips with that and say, I will and I do want to get to know you. And that day I was gloriously saved. How did I know? Because I heard. And once I heard the word, then I believed. And once I believed, then I was added to the kingdom. We have people all over this world, all over this city, all over this street that don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You and I are going to be held we're going to be held accountable for that. According to what God has given us, we're going to be held accountable. You may not like that this morning, and honestly, I don't care. The truth of the matter is, you and I have one purpose left here on this earth. If, in fact, once I got saved and Jesus would say, I love you so much, come on up to heaven, and he'd suck me up, that would be great. But he didn't. He left me right here. And why did he leave me? So that I could be persecuted? So that I could be troubled? No. He left me here so that I could tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I got to tell somebody. When's the last time it worked on your heart? I got to tell somebody. Ding dong. Go to the door. There's the UPS guy. Guess what? Don't sign the thing until you give him the gospel. Guy comes up and he ding dong and he says, hey, I'm here for the bug guy. I mean, you know, the bug guys are everywhere. Anyhow, bug guy comes up. Any bug guys in here? Okay, good. Okay. Bug guys come up and they say, hey, we're just in your neighborhood and blah, 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 blah. And I say, hey, I tell you what, I'll hear your spiel if you hear mine. Okay. God sent Jesus to this earth to die for you. Man, isn't that cool? That is the greatest thing ever. Man, give him the gospel. He can't go anywhere because he's already standing right there, and he can't just start backing up. He can't do the moonwalk. He can't get that moonwalk going. He can't get that going. No, he's got to stand right there. I'm telling you, you have an audience, and you have more audience than you ever thought. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hello, you have just won a trip to Hollywood. Hey, I can tell you how you can have a trip to heaven. Don't hang up on them. Give them the gospel. Even if it's a recording, practice. We should keep it firmly planted in our minds. There's only one reason that we're here on this earth. And that is to tell others about Jesus. Oh, how I love 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 Jesus. Doesn't the world need to hear that? Don't they need to see that in our lives? Yes, they do. God has given us a vision. God has given us a place. He's given us something here that you and I can create together, not for us, but for Him. He says, go where I send you to go. And if you do, then there will be great, great blessings for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do here at this church ought to be with the understanding that it is to bring glory to God in everything that we do. When we sing a song up here, when we play a musical instrument, when the choir is up here, when Bob is leading, when I'm preaching, whatever it may be, do all to the glory of God, because that's who we owe everything to. We only take another breath because Jesus allows that. The weight that each one of us should carry is this: every day, every knee shall bow. One day, every knee shall bow. Whether you believe him or not, you may be in this audience today and you have no idea what I'm talking about. You may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you, one day you will acknowledge him. And it's a lot better to acknowledge him on this side than it is on that side. Because there is no hope for you on that side. Once you cross that boundary of death, there is no hope for you. I was thinking about the police officer that died last week. And how we here, we get in our cars and we just buckle up and we just drive down the road. We don't even think about having an accident. We don't think about anything happening to us at all. Matter of fact, we almost believe that there is an eternity down here on this earth for us. We don't act like it may be our last day. We don't act like it may be the last time we'll see somebody. We don't act like it may be the last time I have an opportunity to tell my unsaved family member about Jesus Christ. We don't act that way. Instead, what do we act? Well, I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to take another time. I've already talked to them once or twice. I'm not going to do that again, but I'm going to tell you, one day, every knee will bow. God's judgment is really quite simple. God is simply going to look at us and say, what have you done with my son? Either accepted him or you rejected him. What have you done with my son? In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We as Christians today, we won't see that judgment seat, but we'll definitely see the judgment seat of Christ. And there's when our works will be put and tried. Some of our works will be wood, hay, and stubble. Other of our works will be seen as gold and silver and precious gems. I think we as church, we as a body of believers, I think we do a lot of things, and perhaps that's just wood, hay, and stubble. I think the things that are going to last are those things that will last. There's nothing greater than sitting with somebody and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ and then say, yes, I want that. That's our purpose here on this earth. That's our purpose as a church. Tonight we're going to look at the vision that you guys have written about, and we're going to take a really hard look at that, and I can't wait for that. It's going to be such a great time with y'all. I just can't hardly wait. I hope you'll come back tonight. We've called it the Year of New Beginnings. Bob said he was going to be moving the sign, and I was asking him the other day, I said, where's the sign? It wasn't back here anymore. I didn't know where it was. Well, it's right there. Yeah, they said, turn around. Everybody, there it is right there. Yeah, Year of New Beginnings. I love that. So question number one. I have just five questions here. And when a preacher says that, it rings, he really has seven. So I have five questions here. Number one is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm not talking about do you know about Jesus, because even the devils know about Jesus. I'm asking, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Was there a day when you confessed that, yes, Jesus is Lord? Was there a day when you said, I confess my sins unto you, and because of the work that you did on the cross, that you took the wrath of God away from me, yes, that I'll accept that. That if you've had a time like that, then I would say amen and amen. But perhaps you haven't. Perhaps you've never done that. Number two is, have you made the move to become kingdom-minded rather than just church-minded? You see, it's important to me that you understand the difference between being kingdom-minded and church-minded. Kingdom-minded has nothing to do with the church, the local church. It has everything to do with those that God sent his son down to die for, and those who have accepted him, those are the kingdom of God. Jesus came down to this earth and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, in Matthew. In Mark and John, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, there's going to become a time when Jesus is going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom right here on this earth. And you and I will either be a part of that or we will not be a part of that. Do you want to be a part of that? I would say yes. Anywhere Jesus is, that's where I want to be. I want to be part of that kingdom. So therefore, if I am part of that kingdom, am I ready to say, I'll take that next step? I'll move beyond, if you will, the pew. Are you holding on to things of the world or are you dying daily? Now listen to me carefully here. The world has its ways of getting its claws into you. The truth is, are we dying daily? Are we saying, I will die today so that you may live? Am I ready to put my body down and people come up and kick on me, spit on me, say all manner of bad things about me? If I'm a dead man, I don't care. Come on, kick me. Come on, hit me. Come on, say all those things you want to say against me. I'm a dead man. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Not at all. When you go out the door in the morning, are you dying to self? Are you saying, I'm going to be kingdom-minded today, I'm going to die to self. I'm not going to worry about that I'm going to be embarrassed today. I'm not worried about somebody's going to say something to me. I'm just going to proclaim the gospel. Today I'm going to do that. I'm dying to self today. Number four, I would say, now listen to this carefully, I would love to see the altars filled today with confessions made to God that we want to do the next step. We want to move to the next level. We have been here, and I tell you what, this church needs to be complimented and applauded, because all those years that you did not have a pastor, you grew and continue to stay, be steadfast. You preached and taught the word. I am so excited about what has happened here. But now, let's move on to the next. Let's don't keep looking at the past. Let's look at the future. And what does the future hold for you and I? Well, there's only one thing that really holds for you and I. Jesus is coming back one day. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Jesus is coming back one day. And when he does, we're going to be sucked up. And guess what? That's going to be glorious and wonderful. However, what about the people we leave behind? We need to be kingdom-minded in everything that we do. Are you ready to do that? Do we need to make confessions today and say, you know, I'm not on that bandwidth yet. I'm not ready quite to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you today, you need to confess that. You need to bring it forth to the Lord. Just tell him about it. He'll help you. Number five, in every aspect of our life, we need to restore our vertical relationship with God. Sin moves us away from our relationship with God. We need to confess that sin and move back. Don't go a day without confessing your sins specifically. Not just, Lord, forgive my sins. No, you created them one at a time. You quote them one at a time. Get back to saying that. Lord, forgive me for this particular sin. Lord, I overstepped my bounds today. Lord, I didn't quite love enough. Lord, you told me to talk to this person I did not. Lord, forgive me for those sins. And he will. And last but not least, I would say this. Don't let Satan win today. Don't let him win. We either are going to say today, November 12th was our day of restoration. Today, November 12th was our day of moving forward. Today, November 12th is a day that we will stand up and say, today I will serve you. I may have not been doing that before, but today I will serve you. Today is the day that I will die to self, and I will practice that every day. Today I want to confess my sins to you that I've not been fully a member of your tribe. I've not been a member of your club. I've not been a member of that. I have not been a member of the family of God because I am going outside of that and I'm not truly trusting. I want to say today we can have faith. Today we can share the gospel. Today we can break a tear and start crying for those who are lost. Today could be that day. Or you can just walk out the back doors and not worry about it whatsoever. Bob, you're putting me on the spot. Hallelujah. I believe we need to move from the pew to the pavement. We don't need to just sit here and take it all in and suck it all in. We need to give back. If God did something wonderful in your life, don't we owe it to Him to share that with somebody else? You see, here's my problem that I have in most times in a church service. I know there are people who need to make a decision. And I know there are people who are saying, yeah, maybe later. If we're going to grow, if we're going to increase in size in Sunday school, we need more Sunday school teachers. If we're going to get to that point, what's it going to cost? And I'm not talking about money. What's it going to cost? Oh, it may take some time. It may take some of your time. How do we move from the pew to the pavement? First off, let's die to self. Number two, let's confess our sins to God. And number three, let's stand up and take one step at a time. Lord, help me today. Bring somebody across my path that I can tell them about Jesus Christ. Help me today, Lord, to disciple somebody. Help me today, Lord, to look at my neighbor as I've never looked at them before. Let me imagine the fires of hell and let me see them there, Lord. Help me to understand that that's what will happen unless we reach the lost. Help this church to never be satisfied, ever satisfied with the status quo. Help us not to be happy where we are. Lord, make us uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable so that I will desire to move more towards you, to draw closer to you. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. I love those old hymns. Now, it's up to you. I've delivered the message that the Lord has asked me to speak, and there it is. Now it's up to you. Whether you accept it or to reject it, whether you take it and fully apply it to your life or not, today is a critical moment of decision in your life, and may I say also it's a critical moment of decision for our church. We're going to talk about a vision tonight, but what good is the vision if we're not going to act on it? We could have a cute little vision. We could put the title up there like "New Begin," the year of new beginnings. Oh, that's really cute. If we don't do anything about it, all it is a motto. If we don't do anything about it, then all it will be is just a vision statement. If we don't do anything about it, we'll be just like every other church. And I'm reminded of the Church of Ephesus. You're active. You're doing great things. You hate the wicked. But I have something against you. You left your first love. Well, I pray that this church will never, ever hear those words. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you today, and I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for the day that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, come unto me. Father, I'm thankful that you had been working in my life and my heart, and I couldn't see any other way than surrendering my life and my heart to you. I failed you many times. I fail you almost daily, but Father, I want to be that kind of person who expands the kingdom. I want to be the kind of person that will look up and see the lost. I want to look up and see the person who's having a difficult time, Lord, and disciple that person, help them along their way. Oh God, I pray that perhaps this may be the prayer of others. I confess those sins before you today. On this Veterans Day, this day when so many soldiers and sailors and Marines signed a blank check and said, whatever you want, I'll do. May we as Christians today sign that blank check as well. May we say that no matter what you want, Jesus, no matter what you ask us to do, no matter what ministry you place before us, may we sign that blank check and say, whatever you want, I'll do. God, I pray for a time of healing. I pray for a time of commitment. I pray for a time of confessing our sins. Oh, Father, during this time, this invitation time, I pray, dear God, that you will have your way. Holy Spirit, draw people today. Help us not sit back and be bystanders, but help us to be on the field. Help us to make the plays. And Father, don't let us fumble the ball. And Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd ask you to stand, please. The altar is going to be full. Will you be a part of that today? It's your opportunity.